My text verse this morning is the fourth verse that we read together, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I speak on the subject this morning. God wants everyone to be saved. You know, I've run across people as I've gone out witnessing that have said to me and truly believed it. They've said, you know, I think I'm just predestined to be lost. I don't think God intended for me to be saved. And I want to tell you this morning, I absolutely am positive that that is not a true statement. In fact, I'm just as positive that that statement came straight out of the depths of hell. I am positive this morning that God wants every single man, woman, boy, and girl to be saved. Our text verse says it, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Now, I want to make it very clear. That verse does not mean that everybody will be saved. I don't believe in the doctrine of universalism. I think that's a false teaching. That's a teaching that says that at some point in time, God's going to change his mind about hell and that everybody is going to be saved because he wills it. He has determined that everybody's going to be saved. There's not one verse in the Bible that teaches that. Every verse in the Bible that I read talks about the desire that God has to be saved. In fact, that word will in verse 4 is not the verb that means God has determined everybody will be saved, because if God determined everybody would be saved, everybody would be saved. But that verb will in that verse means it is God's desire. It is his longing. It is what he wants for every person to be saved. And so this morning, I'm going to take the Bible and quickly I'm going to give you five reasons why I believe the Bible teaches that that is God's desire. That it is his longing that every person come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Number one, I think that's his desire because he tells us to pray for everyone. He said in verse 1 of that chapter, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. God said, I want you to pray for everybody. And one of the prayers I want you to pray for everybody is that everybody gets saved. You see, I think if there were some people that God had already determined that says this person is not going to be saved. I mean, I have already determined that he is not, that God would not tell us to pray for everybody. The fact that he tells us to pray for everybody says to me, it doesn't matter how deep in sin they are. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter how hearted they have been up until this point, that the fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And God says, I want you to pray that everybody gets saved. I read about the story about a praying mother. Her son was named Tom Carter. She had prayed for him to get saved since he was a little boy, but he had rejected the gospel over and over and over again. He got mixed up with some bad company and ended up going to prison. And one day while he was in prison, his mother just had a sense that she needed to take her son, Tom, to God in fervent prayer with fasting and hold him up before God that he would be saved. And so for a period of 3 or 4 days, she would spend most of the day and most of the night in prayer. She fasted and she prayed and she wept and she begged God to save her son Tom. After 3 or 4 days of fasting, a telegram came to the door. It was from the warden of the prison where her son was incarcerated. It said, Dear Mrs. Carter, we regret to inform you that your son, Tom, has passed away while he was a prisoner in our prison. She took that telegram. Tom's mother took that telegram back into her prayer closet. She got down on her knees and put her face down on that letter. And she said, God, I do not believe this. I do not believe this wire is true. You gave me the indication that my son would be saved before he died. I have not heard from him that he's been saved. And so, God, I can only believe that this telegram is not true. She continued in prayer. She continued down on her face before God. 2 hours later, another knock came at the door. It was Western Union again. It was another telegram. It was from the same warden. The telegram read, "Dear Mrs. Carter, we have made a terrible mistake. We had two men named Tom Carter in our prison. Your son did not die. It was the other guy. Sincerely, the warden." She went back into her closet, said, "God, I knew it. I knew it. And now I'm asking you to save my son, Tom." There came another knock on the door. Three telegrams in one day. It was a telegram from her son, Tom, that said, "Mom, lately I felt that the Lord has really spoken to my heart and that I need to be saved. I wanted to tell you before I told anybody else, I asked Jesus to save me, and he saved me." I could tell you story after story about people that I've read about and about people in this church that had got somebody on their heart. They took them to God, and they prayed that they get saved, and they prayed that they get saved, and they prayed that they got saved. And in a miraculous way, God got the gospel to them. They realized that they were a sinner. There was a penalty for that sin. And that Jesus went to the cross and paid that penalty. And because somebody prayed, they got saved. I'm here this morning because my grandma prayed for me. I've told you before, she would get up early and sit at the kitchen table and read her Bible and pray. She'd go down the line for her grandchildren, calling them one by one, name by name, for those that had not gotten saved yet. I can't tell you what it did to my heart and to my soul when I would stand in the living room when she didn't know I was there and heard her call out my name and beg God to save me. When I got saved, she missed church. We were having a revival, and she just decided not to come that night. And that's the night that my pastor took me into his study, and I got down on my knees in front of that red vinyl couch, and I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And I went home that night. I called my dad, first of all, then I called my grandma. I said, "Grandma, your prayers have been answered. God saved me tonight. Thank you for praying for me." God says, pray for everybody. That tells me that his desire is that everybody get saved. The second reason why I believe that it's God's desire and God wants everybody to be saved is from verse 6 in that chapter that we read, "Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Christ gave himself a ransom for all. He wasn't selective. He did not pick and choose. He paid the price for every person. Doesn't matter what your economic standing is. It doesn't matter how educated you are. It doesn't matter if you are in on society or an outcast from society. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what your heritage. God gave himself. Christ gave himself a ransom for all. He did not make any distinction. In verse 5, the Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." There is no one else, there is nothing else that can mediate, serve as a mediator between you and God. Nobody else can do it. The Virgin Mary can't do it. A pastor or a priest can't do it. Not good works. Not education, not reputation. There is nothing and no one other than the Lord Jesus Christ that is a mediator between God and man. And he wants to mediate the dispute. He wants to pay for the sin that separates you from God. In the book of 1 John chapter 2 verse 1, the Bible says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." The righteous. God wants everyone to be saved because he says, "I want you to pray for everyone." God wants everyone to be saved because Christ gave himself a ransom for all. I believe God wants everyone to be saved because that's what the Bible says very plainly and very directly. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What that verse is saying is God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants every single person to come to repentance. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." God said, I don't want anybody to go to hell. I want everybody to come to repentance. I want everybody to come to heaven. And God puts between us and hell all sorts of things to keep the person that is headed for hell. He puts things in their path to say, stop! Stop! You're headed in the wrong direction. You need to turn around and go toward Christ. He puts the cross there. That old bloody cross on which his son died. That's in the path. In order to get to hell, a sinner has to step over the cross. In order to get to hell, the sinner has to step over the Savior who gave himself on that cross. In order to get to hell, a sinner has to step over that book whose pages are full of the love that God has for sinners and the price that God paid for sinners. To get to hell, most sinners have to step over a praying mom or a praying grandma or a praying grandpa or a praying dad. They have to step over those people in their life that God has put to pray for them and to keep them out of hell. God has put so many things in the sinner's path that they have to step over to get to hell. And if a person goes to hell, it's not because God wants them to. It's not because God has willed them to. It's because they have willed themselves to go. Because in their will, they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us directly, simply, very plainly, that God wants every single person to be saved. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth or proved his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So he wants everybody to go to heaven. I believe that because he tells us to pray for everyone. I believe that because Christ gave himself a ransom for everyone. I believe that because that's what the Bible says. I believe that, number four, because he's never refused anyone. Anyone. He says in John chapter 6, verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." There's not a person that comes to Christ that's refused. There's not a person that comes to Jesus that is turned away. Every single person that comes, Jesus will take. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. He took me. I'm so glad. I read a story about John Wesley. He was a Methodist preacher. He was quite a man. In his lifetime, he crossed the Atlantic Ocean 13 times preaching the gospel. He preached here and started a bunch of Methodist churches back when the Methodist church preached the gospel just like we are this morning. He also preached in England. And the story that I read was when he was preaching in England. And he was the kind of guy that he would go into open fields, and there would be 40,000 people in the field, and he'd preach to them. And he didn't have any microphone, didn't have any PA system. He just had a voice that carried, and he could preach to great crowds. Just imagine standing before 40,000 people and being able to preach without any PA system at all. And so he was preaching in England. And he preached to everybody. He preached to the poor. He'd preach to the rich. He'd preach to the royalty. He'd preach to the outcast of society. And in one of his messages, when he was preaching about the fact that God wants everybody to be saved, he made the statement, "God will take anybody." In fact, those people that the devil has cast off, God will take. God will take. There were some people of position that were at that service, and after the service, they invited Wesley to their house for some refreshments. And while they were enjoying, right when he went in, there was a note handed to him, and he stuck it in his pocket, and he didn't read it. But he went in as they were having refreshments. The lady of the house says, "Brother Wesley, there's one thing in your sermon that you said this afternoon that I disagree with." And he said, "Well, what's that?" He said, "You made the statement that God and Christ would even take those people that the devil cast off. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that those people that the devil has cast off, that God will take into his family and into his kingdom?" And while she was talking, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a little note that was given to him. Here's what it says: "We are just two old sinful women, two soiled doves of the London underworld, who heard you preach today. We have lived in sins all our lives. We heard you say that Jesus would take even the devil's castaways. Hearing that and believing it, we have trusted him and have been saved." He looked out the window. There were two women, dirty, dressed in rags. Their faces were hardened because of the sin, standing there with a smile on their face. And Wesley said to the lady of the house, "See those two ladies out there? They're the devil's castaway. And this afternoon, God welcomed them into his family. He's never turned away anybody. And he won't turn away you." And then quickly, number five, I believe that God wants everybody to be saved because of what he gave to buy their salvation. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, the Bible says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all." Our salvation to us is free. It doesn't cost us one thing. But it cost God. It cost him his son. That's how I know he wants everybody to be saved, because of the value of what he gave to purchase salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his son for you. He gave his son to die in your place and in my place. My sins deserve punishment. My sins should have taken me to hell. But I stand before you this morning, redeemed, saved, on my way to heaven because of the price that God paid for my sins. His son. His son. Listen, if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, this may come as news to you. This may be shocking, but it is true. God wants you to be saved. You. I know most people here this morning. There's some people I've met, but I don't know real well. But God wants you to be saved. And he'll save you if you come to him. He will. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being a God that wants everybody to be saved. Thank you that that desire included me. Thank you for the price you paid for my salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for being a ransom for my soul. Thank you for the prayers that were offered up on my behalf before I came into your family. And Father, I know there are many in this room that have that same testimony. They stand redeemed this morning. They stand before you with their sins forgiven and washed away, dressed in the righteousness of Christ, because they asked Jesus to save them And he did. But Father, there's probably some here this morning that's not done that. Help them to see this morning that they're a sinner. That sin has a price, and that price is to be separated from you forever. But Father, help them to understand that the price was paid on Calvary. Jesus paid it all. He paid what we owed in total, not in part, but in whole. He paid the whole price. And if they'd come to him this morning, if they'd come and ask him, he'll save them. And so, Father, I pray for every person in this room that has not asked Jesus to save them. I pray right now, right where they sit, with their head bowed, with their hearts lifted toward heaven, help them to pray, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know you're the Savior. Please save me now. Save me now." And then, Father, in just a second, when we sing a song of invitation, if they've prayed that prayer, help them to walk the aisle and confess Jesus as their Savior. If there's some here that need help doing that, help them to come in just a moment. We'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for the Christians that are here. Help us rejoice once again, because we've been reminded of what happened to us, what you did for us. Help us to love you more, serve you more. So, Father, I just ask you to bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.